Where is it on the agenda?
It's 9 o'clock, and we'll call this meeting to order. If y'all will please stand with me, we're going to have our pledge and our invocation. Item number one, public comment and or requests for information on non-agenda items in accordance with Section 551 of the Texas Open Meetings Act. Again, this is an opportunity to discuss non-agenda items. I'll get those out of the way first. And despite the fact that we've had hearings on the two important matters that you were here today, and theoretically your time for input has been offered during those two times, I will ask you one more time, if there's somebody that has new and fresh ideas that they would like to share with the commissioner's court, I will give you a little bit of time there. If you just want to rehash the same things you had an opportunity to the last couple of times, I'll ask that you let somebody else use that time instead. Anybody here to address a non-agenda item And I know I didn't even put out sign-up sheets because I knew I would be fairly liberal in allowing you all to speak. Is there anyone who has a non-agenda item that you would like to address? Yes, ma'am. Would you like to come up to the podium? That way we'll have a record. Because we don't have mics everywhere, and if we don't have you in the mic, we can't hear anything on our recording, which will help us with our minutes. Sure. Thank you. Make sure that mic is live. Carl, is yours on too? Yeah.
Okay. My comment doesn't have anything to do this morning with the tax rate and all that we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. My comment has just briefly about the how we got here with the EFH, which is the parent company of Luminant. And in the Dallas Morning News on September 16th, on the front page, there was a headline that said EFH, and EFH is the parent company. That stands for Energy Future Holdings. And what it says is shutdown plan draws skepticism. I'm just going to briefly touch on a couple points. Let me get my paper got wet here. Somebody spilled water out. okay. As Interfuture Holdings threatens to shut down power plants and mines, federal regulators and Wall Street observers aren't buying its arguments. Some Wall Street analysts calculate that EFH's power generation business, Luminant, won't have to retire power plants to meet new power pollution rules. The Environmental Protection Agency disputes the company's contention that it has only 5 months to comply with the cross-state air pollution rule and said the company won't have to cut 500 jobs or shut down anything at all. We don't see why there's a crisis, said EPA Regional Administrator Al Armendariz. Luminant really is unique in the level of concern and the steps they are taking publicly to argue against the rule. Just briefly, I'm going to touch on a couple things. Some observers point out that the threat to shut down two power generators and three coal mines has caused the company's bond prices to drop. If that continues, it would be a lot cheaper for EFH to refinance its $35 billion debt burden. Also this year, the company has pressed local appraisal districts to slash the value of its power plants, which is why we're here. Okay, on Monday of that week of September 16th, the previous Monday, the state's largest power generator announced it would shut down facilities in East and Central Texas and lay off 500 workers to comply with new EPA regulations. A spokesman said the operations would stop by the end of this year. Okay, and then it goes on to say the EPA says that that's not necessary and implored the company one day before the shutdown announcement to follow a plan outlined by the regulators that involves buying what they call pollution allowances. Luminant Chief Executive David Campbell responded Monday. He said, despite our requests, the EPA has not provided them with data on a unit-by-unit basis that does not include fuel switching at the units. Fuel switching means using out-of-state coal rather than dirtier lignite from the local mines, stated slated for the closure. Campbell told a Texas Senate commission this week that the rule requires Texas to take drastic steps to severely reduce annual nitrogen oxide and sulfur dioxide emissions in less than 5 months. But the EPA disputes this. It says the way the company presents the deadline is not correct. The program begins in January 2012, but EFH, the parent company, Energy Futures Holding, has until March 2013 to show that it has met the rule, either by cutting emissions or by buying allowances. Allowances from companies that have reduced their pollution more than required. The EPA said the company is not required to make any reductions or install any equipment by January 1st. Luminant spokesman Alan Keening said, "The reductions required are so severe that we must take immediate steps to meet the deadline." But the EPA says they will give the company enough allowances to operate at the status quo for months. After that, EPA expects Luminant can buy allowances on the open market, and if the market allowances aren't available, the EPA will adjust. An analyst for UBS said that EVFH will probably have to switch to closed mines and switch to cleaner coal from Wyoming, but could keep the two power generators in service. He wrote in a research note that Texas reliability is not threatened by the pollution rule. Let's see, I'll end this with prices for several of EFH's bonds lost ground this week after the announcement of the closures. That's not necessarily a bad thing for the company. So again, we have to really think about why it is we're here. We have to use common sense on how we treat our county employees, loyal, hardworking, many of them many years getting ready to retire. We don't really want to throw anybody under the bus. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Scarborough. Anybody else? Non-agenda item. You said it's kind of on the agenda?
Well, it's on the agenda, yes, sir. It ties to the budget. It's just a question that I had. And I'm Barbara Breckner. In regard to the budget, I think you're all aware that many taxpayers are asking that to help balance the budget. And a lot of the fact that the commissioner's salaries and travel allowances are above average, if they take a 10% salary cut and a 50% travel cut. And I think that taxpayers would like to see a vote taken on that today, and I'm just wondering if that will be part of the discussion when you get to the budget.
We've discussed it. If they have anything that they'd like to say, that I'll give them that opportunity.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you.
Anybody else? Buffalo, I was telling everybody before you came in that our time for hearing has been completed. If you have anything new and fresh to share during this time, I'll give you a brief amount of time.
Just a reminder that you're all elected officials. You're subject to the will of the people, your service of the people, and you need to take all that into consideration as you proceed.
Thank you. Anyone else before we proceed? All right. Moving on to item number two, consider and possibly approve minutes from the September 12th regular meeting at the Commissioner's Court.
Judge, I reviewed those minutes with April. I move that they be approved.
Okay, motion by Commissioner Boggs for approval of our last regular meeting of Commissioner's Court on September 12th.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Item number three, consider and possibly approve minutes from the public hearing of the Commissioner's Court from August 31st and September 12th.
I also review those and do make a motion that they be approved.
Okay. Have a motion by Commissioner Boggs for approval of our public hearing meetings. Second by Commissioner Fields. All those in favor of the approval of those minutes, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, thank you very much. Here we go. Item number four, adopt the 2011-2012 budget, and then we'll move on into the tax rate adoption in the very next item. I just want to personally express to you my appreciation for your participation in our budget process. It's been a while since we had this many people involved, and I say we. I've only been here one time, but I can count the number of times I've ever been up here to participate in a budget hearing on probably two fingers, and that includes years and years. And I confirmed that with the commissioners that it's been a long time since they've seen this kind of input. But that's what's supposed to happen each and every year. Don't forget, this process occurs every year. This is nothing new, nothing special. You have the right to come up here and express your opinion on everything from car allowances to salaries and everything in between. It's your time. We have those hearing dates set aside and available So remember that in the future. When September comes along next year, remind yourself, this is my time to be heard. Also, by your votes, every couple of years, you determine who sits up here in these chairs. And you have a right to make changes there. You have a right to step up and say, I want a piece of that. Or you have a right to determine who is it that's going to be sitting there. But I can assure you that your perspective changes once you sit up here. And no longer can you continue to just make choices that only make you happy. You realize there's a lot more opinions out there than just the ones that you have. And there's a lot more legitimate factors to be considered than just simply no more taxes. Please don't think that we aren't listening to you if we don't arrive at a conclusion that 100% supports your position. Ultimately, the county budget and the tax rate are determined by this group of five votes. As for myself, my decision is based on what I believe to be the best use of tax dollars, the least amount of tax dollars, to serve the most people in the most equitable way. Unless there's any of you that would like to say something, I'll proceed, like, but I'm assuming that some of you would like to say something, and I'll give you the time either now or prior to the tax rate, but it seems to me that this would be the appropriate point. Okay. And if you'll pull that mic up there so that we can be sure that everyone hears you.
There's a couple of things I'd like to say specifically about the budget. There's a lot been said about the compensation that we receive, and it's undeniably a good compensation. Made aware, though, that we're the fourth highest paid office in the county.
In the state?
Pardon me?
In the state, did you mean?
No, in the county.
In the county, okay.
Commissioners have the fourth. There are three other elected officials that make more than the commissioners do. The item in the paper brought out several comparisons of what our compensation is and what other compensations are around the state. One thing that was not brought out is that, for example, Newton County has a $21,000 a year travel allowance and they get a car. As a matter of fact, there are Newton, Wilson County, Trinity County, Jim Wells County. They all get cars in addition to their travel allowance. The some other counties like Jackson, Archer County, they have a small travel allowance, agreed, but they also get a key to the gas tank at their county barn to use in their personal vehicles. Counties like Maverick County has a large amount of square miles, but only one-fourth of the roads that Titus County has. So my point is not to discredit the effort that was done by the advertisers. It was just the fact that there's more of a story to be told about how commissioners are compensated in other counties. For example, Garza County has what's called a salary supplement for their commissioners. Brewster County has a $3,500 a year salary supplement. Haskell $1,200 salary supplement. So there are many different ways of in compensating commissioners around the state. And I just wanted to make that clear that I don't think the travel allowance is too high. I think it compensates the commissioners for the efforts that they use their vehicles for, pay their insurance for, pay their maintenance, various and sundry expenses. But it comes down to the fact that I personally feel, because I have a smaller vehicle, that I will take a small cut in my travel allowance. I mentioned during the budget workshop that I would take an 18% cut in my travel, and I will do that. That's all.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Carl, is there anything that you would like to say at this point regarding our budget? Not about the tax rate, but about the budget itself.
No, sir. I think pretty much everybody's gone over it. I would suggest, and I think you and I talked about this a little bit, The way I would proceed would be to make a motion to approve the budget that's been on public display since August 31st, and then with whatever amendments you want to make, including the one Don wants to make on his. I think there's some discussion about maybe changing the way the fire departments are paid from what was in the original budget, but I think that'll be the clearest way to say we started with the budget that everybody's looked at. We're going to approve it that way with the following changes.
Okay.
And then the only other item that I think needs to be remembered by everyone is this is an ongoing adjustment to this budget. We're not where we finally want to be probably with the budget. We've got health insurance adjustments hopefully to make over the next 3 or 4 months, and we may have to make some other adjustments as we go along. There's $600,000 roughly reduced in this budget from the prior year's actual expenses. Our goal is to get to $800,000. So we're not through necessarily with the budget just because we approve what we do today.
All right. So you would like a motion to adopt the budget, and then you would like to discuss the changes?
Yes, okay. I think that's the best way to do it.
Okay.
Or you can actually say adopt the budget with the following changes if you want to discuss each.
I think that's what I'll do. And it's my understanding that Commissioner Boggs has made that adjustment to his allowance. The only other change that I'm aware of to the budget is specifically related to the volunteer fire departments. We had initially suggested a flat $1,000 per month for each of the departments. But after further discussion and with some assistance of those departments, of the volunteers, we have decided that will be a three-tiered approach. The total dollars between the six will still be an average of $1,000 a month, yet we are going to allocate $1,200 to two of those departments, $1,000 per month to two, and $800 for the other two. Again, total dollars or total impact to the budget remains the same. We're just making that slight reallocation within the volunteer.
And the only other change from that is Talco was not part of that. We pay Talco a little more money than
correct.
That, but
that's,
it is a flat
that's
amount
a different,
too.
Yeah, that's a different scenario there.
Right.
Okay.
Because they're an actual city.
Gentlemen, are you aware of anything else that I have failed to remember? All right. Well, then I'm going to go ahead and make a motion that we approve the 2011-2012 budget as stated, and it has been presented. Second by Commissioner Fields. All those in favor of the adoption of the 2011-2012 budget with those changes that I just mentioned, say aye.
Aye.
And it is unanimous. Moving on to number five, the adoption of the 2011 tax rate. And I'll again defer to you for a bit more detailed explanation there.
There are actually two tax rates involved. One is the interest and sinking fund to pay the interest and principal on the bonds. This point is almost all interest. That's 13.48 cents per hundred. The maintenance and operations budget, which operates the county operations, is 25.24 cents per hundred for a total rate of 38.72 cents per hundred is the proposed rate. Well, unless you're gonna, I mean, we've approved a budget based on those numbers, so I mean, unless you've got somewhere else you're gonna grab some revenue, I mean, you know, we've talked about it a lot. The way we approached it was, you know, 50% tax increases and 50% expense reductions, and that's kind of where we've stayed. But it's y'all's call what you want to do.
And I know that's your recommendation.
That is my
recommendation. We've gone over the numbers, and I know that's what it takes to get to where we have targeted to be. Slightly less than 4 cents increase, approximately a 10% increase. Again, an $82,000 home, the approximate impact upon them, about
$20
per year. Obviously, if you have property beyond that house value, or if your house is valued more or less, you'll need to consider that in there.
And if the only property you own is your homestead and you're over 65, your taxes will
not go up. We're going to have Judy Cook will address that when she makes her presentation. We'll go over some of those details that can help taxpayers. All right, then. I'm going to make a motion that we adopt a 2011 tax rate for the upcoming year in the amount of 38.72 cents per hundred, being split again 13.48 and 25.24 between interest and sinking fund and maintenance and operations. Second by Commissioner Fields. All those.
Some discussion, Judge.
Sure.
I wanted to bring out the fact that I was curious about previous tax rates in Titus County, and I found it interesting that between the years of 1970 and 1989, the M&O tax rate is 25 cents. It was actually 25.83. What are we going to on the M&O?
25.24.
So I believe it's a fair tax rate. It accomplishes not all of what we need, but some of what we need, and the rest we'll just have to see if we can find it within.
Thank you.
Call the question.
All right, we have a motion and we have a second. All those in favor of the adoption of the 2011 tax rate at those figures, please say aye.
Aye.
And it's unanimous. Thank you. I had made a statement a couple of weeks ago that we would have a presentation today regarding our health insurance, and through no fault of anyone up here, we had a request from the lady that will make that audit presentation. Please give me until the next commissioner's court meeting. I have got an emergency that I have to be taking care of today on this Monday. We talked about this late last week, and I said that's fine. There will still be some folks interested in coming to that following meeting. But again, all that meeting is to hear her comments on our current existing health plan as a result of an audit. No decisions were going to be made today. We were just going to be hearing some suggestions, recommendations, comments from her. So that will be postponed until our next commissioner's court meeting in a couple of weeks. I will move on to item number 6, and I'll ask Judy Cook to come and discuss this with us. We're going to be talking here about the tax exemptions and discounts for the upcoming year.
Good morning.
Pull that up there. You're big and tall, and let us hear you as best we can.
Okay, the discounts for early payment, we've had 3% for October, 2% November, 1% for December.
That remains unchanged.
If you all vote on it. And the homestead exemption, which is 20%, as allowed by the state, but not less than $5,000. And the property tax code permits an exemption of an additional amount of $15,000 for taxpayers that are 65 and over. It also allows for a person that's under 65 that is 100% disabled, according to Social Security records, an exemption of $10,000 on their homestead.
When is that birthday taken into consideration, and which taxpayer is it within the home? Can you, I mean, I've been asked that question,
the homestead
that detail.
Exemption?
Yes.
Whomever's name that the taxes are in.
Okay. And at what point, if they have a birthday somewhere during that year, when do you actually make that determination?
Whenever you turn 65, you can go to the appraisal district and apply for your over 65 homestead exemption. Generally, you receive it the year that you turn 65. If you've already paid your taxes, you will get a refund
when they apply that
exemption.
Speaking
right.
to that mic, would you?
On the deed, if you have yourself and your husband up there, whoever turns 65 first can apply.
Correct.
I was asked that.
Right. And the next one is required. It's a required exemption to total appraised value on homesteads for Texas veterans to receive 100% compensation. That receive 100% compensation from the U.S. Department of Veteran Affairs due to 100% disability rating. Then the next one is that a disabled veteran who owns property other than his residence homestead may apply for a different disabled veteran's exemption. The exemptions applied according to their Social Security records if they're 10% or higher. Then the code also permits a governing body to adopt the tax freeze for individuals 65 and older. Yeah, that's, you granted that the first time in 2005.
And is that based on what you paid during your 64th year?
No. Whenever you turn 65, whatever your taxes are the year you turn 65, okay. That's where they're frozen.
Okay.
Your tax rate can go up, your appraised value can go up, but your taxes stay the same.
Either or both can go up, but your taxes stay the same.
Correct.
What happens if your tax rate stays the same, your appraisal goes down?
Then your taxes would lower.
Okay. And they could never go back above that point where it was when it was frozen.
They stay. Which we also do a quarter pay, too, for taxpayers that are 65 and over. You can do the quarter pay, which you make your payment in January, March, May, and July. As long as you make your installment the month that it's due, there's no penalty in interest.
Okay.
That's something else we do.
Did they start that?
No, oh, we've been doing that for several years. They said, but according to the code book, I think it's 65. You don't get your over, you have to have your over 65 exemption to be able to do that.
My son purchased a home in Bowie County and they probated the taxes on it. He paid the certain portion in January and the second portion in
January. Well, that probably was because of the decision that was made on the homeowner that owned it prior to the sale. They may have paid a portion for that year, and then he paid the rest. That's usually when you have the proration.
Some counties do split their
that's what you're talking about. Installments.
Some counties, that's the way they pay
their installments. They have to be approved to where you would pay half and then another half, but that's an installment. And we have never done the installment.
Well, would that not be in the back on your taxes?
I'm having a hard time hearing him, so I'm really not sure what your discussion.
Talking about installment payments, that's something we've never done before on homesteads. It's January and July. You can pay half in January and half in July without any penalty or interest.
In other words, instead of what I would pay here toward the end of this year, I would pay those installments in the next year or in this year?
Starting with January 1st, you could do your first installment of the half payment.
Okay.
And then July, you do the other half.
Without any additional
penalty and interest.
Penalty.
Carl, what kind of impact?
It's just on homesteads.
Right, correct.
Okay.
Would that create a cash flow issue? We're considering it right now, Carl. What impact would that have? Or do you need time to kind of figure it out?
Well, I think the situation right now is we can handle it. It obviously affects your cash flow because you know your money to buy.
Yeah.
January, you're going to get half the money to buy. January, you're going to get half the money to buy.
Turn your mic back on.
Right.
Yeah, and they wouldn't, I guess, in this situation.
They do. They, at any time, even at a quarter pay, if you're late for the month that you're late on, you still have penalty and interest on
but
the month.
But if I'm understanding what you're saying, if they made their half payment in January and then made a half payment in July, right now if they made a half payment in July, they would owe penalties and interest.
Right, but if they're on an installment plan, they don't.
They would not. So
as long as they're not late.
So.
Half payment in January, half payment in July.
Yes.
If they don't pay in July, penalties will apply.
Right.
Right.
Do the penalties just start at July?
In July.
Yes.
Well, I think that's something that we may want to look at for a future.
Okay, I've asked Carolyn to jot that down for a future meeting, but we'll certainly take a look at that. And again, that's homesteads only.
We would need to do it before January the 1st. We would know that we have that option.
But we could put that into effect for this upcoming year?
You can add the resolution. Yes.
How would that affect your office?
What do you mean?
Well, would it create
lots more envelopes, though?
More mail outs? No, we can adjust. I mean, that won't be a problem. We can go in and code it. You know, installment payments like we do quarter pays or whatever. So that
well, here's what I'd like you to do. I know we're throwing a new concept on you like that. Let's plan on visiting this within the next absolutely 30 days,
okay.
Possibly 2 weeks. Be thinking about some reasons why, yeah, I could or I couldn't do that before we sound too positive about this. It sounds good to me right now,
sure,
but I want to be sure there's not practical considerations that we're not thinking about.
Yeah. I'm more than willing to help the taxpayer
okay.
out. You know, that's
okay.
what we need to do. So
we will.
I will check on it. Since
we will try to find any reason we can to make that happen.
Okay.
All right. Does anybody else have a question here for Judy? While she's here, you can certainly call over to the appraisal, not the appraisal district, but over here to our tax collector's office or the appraisal district. This will be a year of some increase, obviously, for many of you. And. So these are important issues if you want to ask now or if you want to consider just giving them a call later on. Okay. Thank you, Judy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So item number 6, I'll entertain a motion that we approve the exemptions and discounts as they have been stated. Who made the motion? All right. Motion by Commissioner Hockaday, second by Commissioner Hinton, that we approve the exemptions and discounts. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And it's unanimous. Item number 7. I got the cart before the horse here, folks. We're going to table this matter. I was in a hurry to get this down without thinking through the implications, and I actually put the wrong dates on here. Because I was directed to our list of holidays, and I was incorrect in my assumption. So we are going to revisit this, but we're going to table this matter for right now. Mr. Commissioner Fields has made a motion. Well, I made the motion. You can second it for me. And all those in favor of tabling this motion about our holiday schedule, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right, item number 8, consider and possibly approve the 2012 Titus County Resolution on Indigent Defense Grant Program. All right. Let me briefly read over this here for you. This is something we do every year. In indigent defense, what that is our county provides legal representation for those that are deemed to be indigent. That happens in our court system, whether it's here in county court, whether it's across the street in our district court. The state does help us with some of these expenses, and that's what we're talking about today is this indigent defense grant program. We are responsible for reporting information to them, but fortunately we have attorneys here that are willing to work at a reduced rate to provide representation to defendants here within our county. Let me briefly read this. Whereas under the provisions of the Fair Defense Act, 77th regular sessions, counties are eligible to receive grants from the Texas Indigent Defense Commission to provide improvements in indigent defense services in the county, This program will assist the county in the implementation of the provisions of the Fair Defense Act and the improvement of indigent criminal defense services. Titus County Commissioners Court has agreed that in the event of loss or misuse of the funds, Titus County Commissioners assures that the funds will be returned in full to the Indigent Defense Commission. Now, therefore, be it resolved and ordered that the county judge of this county is designated as the authorized official to apply for, accept, decline, modify, or cancel the grant application for the Indigent Defense Formula Grant Program and all other necessary documents to accept said grant, and be it further resolved that the judge is designated as the program director and contact person for this grant, and the county auditor is designated as the financial officer for this grant. So there is our resolution, and with your motion, we'll consider this.
So moved.
Motion by Commissioner Boggs.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Hockaday that we approve this 2012 resolution regarding our Indigent Defense Grant Program. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
And it's unanimous. Thank you. All right, item number 9, consider and possibly approve budget for records management and archive funds. And Diane, if you'll tell us about this.
Okay, our code says that every year we must file a archives plan with the Commissioner's Court, and I don't know that this has been done in the past, but it is in the code and we do need to do it. It's an a separate line item on the budget, and in the past, the archive fee and the records management fee has been put in the same account. And I've talked to Carl, and he's, you might have already split it out, or we're in the process of getting the archive fee split out of the records management because it is two different accounts. The archive fee was set up because all of our books that are 100 years old and handwritten, and this is an example of three of them up here, that if we, that is why they, the Supreme Court is the one that wanted the counties to set up this fee so that the, our history is going to be preserved. And this money can only be used for books that are at least 100 years old. And once you get all of those books back to as much of the original as possible, they go. We went to a seminar Wednesday, and they take these old books, and if there's any tape on them, they take the glue and the tape off. And when they get these books all back to the original, it's just unbelievable. And then they put new covers on them. And also, they have boxes there that are fireproof for an hour. So I would like, to, when we get these all back to as close to, you know, what they, the original, then I would like to get those fireproof boxes to put them in because, I mean, they need to be out where if you wanted to come and look at your great-grandfather's were a deed that, I mean, there's records in here that are back in the 1800s, and they need to be out where the public can look at them. You could just take them all and put them in a big vault somewhere, which we don't have, but they wouldn't, the county wouldn't have access to them as well as if we could put them in the fireproof boxes once we get them restored. Right now, it's kind of hard for anybody to look at them because they're so fragile. I don't want any more damage to them than what already is because these pages are so old that they can crumble. And, but if anybody wants to look at them, they're more than welcome. I mean, they're your records. We just want to preserve them.
Diana, I meant to ask you this the other day. A few years back, one of the previous, not the last county clerk, but I think it was Sherry, and maybe before her, they were paying somebody to microfilm these. I'm assuming it was these books. Are
they,
those microfilm?
They do microfilm them once they get these, the pages encapsulated into plastic sleeves. And I wished I had one of the books that they, when they restore them.
But is every book, is every book we have microfilmed?
No. Okay. No, these have never been touched.
Okay.
Which there's quite a few books in there that haven't been
okay.
touched. And this gentleman is coming down from Dallas, and he's going to help me survey all of the books. And some books are not as in bad a shape as others. And some of them we can just recover and preserve them that way. If you came and picked up one of these books right now, do not put them against your clothes, because it's just flakes all over your clothes. I mean, you just have big brown spots on your clothes. You can't handle them very well. I put $20,000 is what I wanted for this year to start restoring the books. They're very expensive to do because it's very tedious work. It's just it's just hard to restore books. And anyway, I'm going to ask him when he comes to put us on a plan to where I can put a set amount away each year to start restoring the books. And once he gets to that point, whatever we have in the budget, then he'll just stop for that year. And then next year he'll pick up and he'll just keep doing that until we get them all restored.
So 20,000 is just a start?
Yes. That wouldn't even touch, you know, what we need to have done. And, you know, and we have to keep doing it now. I mean, every clerk that comes along needs to do some of these books. And that's the only thing you're supposed to use this money for. But like I said, it's been in record management. It hasn't been split out, this archive money. Now, the records management money, you can use it for salaries, or you can use it for computers, or anything to do with, you know, keeping up with your records. Anything that's pertaining to records, you can use that for, computers or whatever. But the archive money can only be used on these old books. Well, we had it all in the records. It was all in the records. But from now on, this account will be separate.
Yeah.
And also, this account gets to keep its own interest. And also, records management does get to keep its interest, too. I don't know if it's set up like that or not. Yeah. Anyway, they both get to keep
How it. Often are these old books referred to?
You can't go by that. Because that is history. And if these things deteriorate and they're gone, your history is gone. And it's not very often, to answer your question. It's not very often, but if somebody did, we want to have them. And that's this county's history in there. I mean, I read one little slip of paper in there, in the one that had the birth certificates in it, and it had, and several of them are in there, and they have little paper clips with the little pieces of paper on it. And this lady from Naples wrote this little note to the county clerk, and she said, would you please not let so-and-so, with the boy which was 18 and the girl which was 13, do not issue them a marriage license because the family's against it. Well, and this was wrote back in 1800 or early 19. It might be in 1902. And I don't know if back in 1902 they let them get married at 13 or not, but the lady from Naples was asking the county clerk at the time to not issue them a marriage license, which is, there is all kinds of little papers in these. I mean, it just gives me goosebumps because I love history and I love old things.
Well, I'm not sure I could put my hands on my college diploma, but I'll take your word for it. I'm not that much of a
you're not a
sentimental
history buff.
Guy. No.
Oh,
I'm not.
Anything that's old like this, you know, it does need to be preserved. And if anybody, when you get through, if you want to come up and look at them, you're more than welcome.
Also, we sold the whole jail. We have a lot of old books and material and stuff. That is located at East Texas State University, A&E on Commerce, in their climate control area that they have up there. We have quite a bit of material up there that belongs to Titus County, but we put it there to preserve that for the future.
Well, the courthouse burned in 1895. And the records prior to that are in the University of Texas has microfilm there. But if you let your history go, it's gone. I mean, we need to keep our history.
Hey, this over here, where this is the real property in marriage life.
And I'm generating almost $30,000 this year in this account anyway.
Well, that's where the fee will be coming from.
Exactly, right.
But you're not generating any new fees.
Yes.
You are going to generate some new fees.
The handout I gave you tells you how much I'm going to generate
this year.
That's
all anticipated new revenue.
For this year.
$29,430.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And of that, you'd like to spend $20,000 of it on book restoration.
Right.
Thank you. All right, what's your pleasure? Motion by Commissioner Fields that we approve this records management and archive funds.
Second.
And the plan that I hold in my hand. We have a second by Commissioner Hockaday. The two old guys, I understand. All right. History is important to them. All those in favor of the approval of this budget and plan, say aye. All right, it's unanimous. Thank you. All right, we're now down to the tail end. Consider and possibly approve travel and seminars for Titus County employees and elected officials. I think I have two here, both from our Sheriff's Department. Item number one, a request to send Andrea Miller, records clerk, to a one-day December 5th in Austin open government conference. That will cost us a registration fee of $75, one night of lodging, and one day of meals. Second item is to send Chris Braggs, investigator, to Glock Armorer's course. That will be in McKinney, Texas on September 27th. Total cost of $195. And those are the only two that I have. All right, would you like to make a motion to approve those requests?
So moved.
So moved by Commissioner Boggs. And I'll second by Commissioner Fields. All those in favor of the approval of those travel and seminar items, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right, approve oral and written reports of county officials, item number 11. Motion by Commissioner Box for approval.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor of approval of our written reports, say aye.
Aye.
Item number 12, consider and possibly approve our treasurer's report.
Make a motion that we approve the treasurer's.
Okay, motion by Commissioner Box for approval of our treasurer's report.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Hinton. All those in favor of approval, say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. All right, Carl, how about some budget amendments? Not any today. It's our last chance, isn't it? No? We can't. Okay. All right. Item number 14, sign pay orders, approve paying our bills.
Make a motion to pay our
bills. Motion by Commissioner Hinton for approval of payment of our bills. Second by Commissioner Hockaday. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right, item number 15, closing comments.
Thank you.
Appreciate your comments there. And yes, today ends a process of budget hearings and budget decisions. I would encourage you, hold us accountable. As you see us and run into us, ask you, what have you done today to help our budget, to help our tax rate? let's don't drop this and for the entire next year. It will help us if this stays at the, you know, very front of our minds. And I can assure you it's going to be something that I'm going to be thinking a lot about in the days and weeks and months ahead. And that's primarily because of what you all have done today and in these last few meetings. So again, it's easy for us to get past a difficult time in our budget year and just to kind of forget about it. But I don't want that to happen where we don't discuss any of these things for a year to come. We do have some pressing issues that we will deal with in the upcoming 2 or 3 months, and we're committed to making up some of that shortfall that we've got, that right now we don't have a way to, a guaranteed way as to how we're going to make it up. And we're going to try to leave that fund balance alone as much as we possibly can, and to make sure that we get that good rating for our Loop bonds. The good news is we've got the Loop project just, I mean, that close to getting ready to be let. We'll see some activity here shortly. We've waited many years. I'm personally looking forward to seeing that happen and to see the economic activity that comes to our community. That's all I have. I'll start at my far end down here. Okay. Commissioners?
I have a couple of things I wanted to talk about. Look, I appreciate that you saying that. We're all friends and neighbors. We've known each other for a long time. It's a hard process doing this. I do know in the past years we've looked at different things, trying to figure out what would be best for the county, what's the right direction to go. You know, we have some things we can look at and cut back, but it's hard. CASA, we've worked, I think, for the last 3 years to try to get CASA where it's at. We're helping them with $30,000 a year. That's our children. It's children in the county that's been removed from their home, and they really don't have a representative there for them. We have, I think last year in the year, I don't know what the final count was, but we had nearly 80 children that were took out of homes that didn't really have a spokesperson for them. And we've just been able to really implement that, put that in the last 3 or 4 years and get it up to $30,000, you know. And you can go through the process and look at the DPS office, the secretary out there, and you really do away with her. You're taking a highway patrolman off the street that will bring more money in than what you would pay for that secretary. You know, do we want to give up that? I really didn't, and the other commissioners didn't. But you look at the whole process, you go through each one of them. The election administration office was the office that was talked about. Maybe we could cut that and go back the old way. You look at the pros and cons. Realistically, you look at it, you say, you know, we're really not going to save any money here. The different entities are going to have to come up with machines. We can rent them machines. What if we have an election and everybody's involved and we don't have enough machines? Somebody's going to have to buy them. It's double dipping the taxpayers. You shouldn't have to buy voting machines for the hospital, or the college, the city, these type of things. So, you know, we look at the overall plan. I think you go back and look through the years, we've tried to eliminate waste where we could. And it's just something that you look at, you try to do the best you can. But I agree with Mr. Thompson. I know just about everybody out there. There's not many I don't know. And I promise you, I'm not mad at anybody or upset with anybody. We're friends and we're going to stay friends. But another thing I wanted to let the court know, and in the morning we'll be meeting for all the county employees at Central Barn. We're trying to get ready. Larry has requested this, so we're going to go out there and fill paperwork out to continue to get this programs. Larry's my understanding the funding and stuff, we have to take all these classes. That's what I want to do at night, is go home and take classes on the internet, but I guess that's part of it. But anyway, it helps the county and it helps bring money, but we will be meeting at 8:30 in the morning. And another thing I wanted to invite everybody here to the county park, starting October the 7th, Jam Fest, Twin Lake Jam Fest. It's free. The price is right. Go out there. You want to hear some good singing, picking. It'll be going on all week. It starts the 7th on Friday. Saturday's usually, and Sunday's usually the big day. Bring your lawn chair, go out there and sit down. And listen, we've got a lot of people coming from, I think the last time I heard, we had people coming from Missouri, Tennessee, Arkansas. I think the people from Oklahoma, we've got quite a few people going to be there. If you've never been to one of these are it's a jam fest. And they'll set camp up here, you go over here and listen. They'll set a camp up over here, you go over there and listen. Camp will be on that side. It's free. You drive in, take your lawn chairs, and you want to hear some good country picking and singing. That's the place to go this next weekend. Also, our county fair is going on this week. Titus County and surrounding counties have always been very, very supportive of our county fair. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Well, I have something I'd like to say. I have already started. When people come into my store that I know live in the precinct, I apologize to them. This is not something that I enjoy doing. This is something that's going to challenge a lot of people's budget, their checkbooks. But in my heart, I know it's the best thing for the county as a whole. But I do have an apology for the residents of Precinct 1. I think that's appropriate.
All right, that concludes our meeting. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn. So moved by Commissioner Hockaday. And I'll make a second. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All right. Thank you.
I apologize to you, Mike. I know you didn't want me to do that.